I'll ask that you remain standing. And at this time, it is my privilege to invite our friend and fellow servant, Pastor Oleg Volkov, to come and to bring God's word to us.
I have been preaching since 1998, and every time I worry, but every time God was merciful to me. I hope He will be merciful to me this day too. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, be multiplied to you, dear and beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. I greet you with love of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the holy God's people on the Lord's day, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am very glad to be here with you today. Let me send greetings from the saints of Reformed Presbyterian Church of St. Petersburg and Uzbekistan. Thank you very much for your sacrificial participation in our ministry. It is very important for us. I thank Neil's family, Gert's family, and Douglas' family for great hospitality and great kindness. I thank you, all Saints Presbyterian Church, for your love to me. And I would like to thank Pastor Jeff Neal and Elder Tony Douglas for letting me stand in this pulpit. And I appreciate your readiness to suffer my Russian English. Before we begin to study the Word of God, let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we could know you better and better. Bless us in reading and studying your holy word and open our hearts to comprehend your holy will. Grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to you who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever. Amen. Amen. First, I would like to greet you with Reformation Day. Happy Reformation Day. I'm happy to be with you this day. For several years, we have been preaching on certain books of the Bible. Of course, our choice depends on church calendar. For example, from Advent to Easter, we go through the Gospels. From Easter to Pentecost, we study the Epistles. From Pentecost to Advent, one of the Old Testament books. This year, we began to study the Psalter. Today, I would like to draw your attention to Psalm 15. I called my sermon, Man Pleasing to God. I hope you will understand why after we study this psalm. But the first rough title was Ongoing Reformation. If we combine these two titles, we will come to the main idea of this psalm. True Reformation is a man pleasing to God. What kind of man it is, we will find out soon. One Sunday I preached on the previous Psalm, Psalm 14. We talked about ungodly man or the fool. We saw that the fool is the one who says, there is no God. As a result, he is enslaved by sin and follows his sinful lusts. As the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We must remember the great truth. This truth is that if a man does not confess God and his authority in his life, he is in power of sin. As we read in Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And in 2 Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. But today, we will talk about righteous man, true reformer, or a man pleasing to God. King David was such a man, as we read 1 Samuel 13 and 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ is this kind of man, and God urged each disciple of Christ to be like this man. Let's turn to our Psalm 15. A Psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. As we see, David's question is, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, what kind of person is pleasing to God so that he can live with God face to face? It's a very important question. Who may dwell? As we know from Old Testament, the tabernacle and holy hill is a place of God's presence. The temple on Zion was God Yahweh in the midst of his covenant people, or people of the covenant gathered around God Yahweh. God Yahweh with his people together. Good question. Who may abide in God's presence? Who is that man? David is given an answer. Man pleasing to God. Who is he? As we read, the man pleasing to God is the one who walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. Walks uprightly. His feet are devoted to the Lord to walk God's ways. What does it mean to walk God's way? It is an obedience to God. The ways which a person walks, these are the decisions that a man makes. Works righteousness. His hands are devoted to the Lord to do God's works. What does it mean? Jesus says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Paul the Apostle also says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Speak the truth in his heart. His heart is devoted to the Lord to listen to the truth and to proclaim this truth. But he is not only listening to the truth, but lives according to the truth. He is doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving himself, as we read in James 1:22. We have to understand that true faith express itself in works of love. What is first work of love? Obedience. Obedience, as we read in Bible. Only a man devoted to God, that is the saint and priest chosen by God for a special purpose, walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. It should be noted that dedication is a voluntary and willful separation for God, as we read in Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. We have to know that dedication is a lifestyle. To live not one's own cheek but for God. It does not matter where the person lives. It matters what he lives for. Yesterday you heard my testimony. When God touched my heart, I was in bad conditions and in big cage. But I was free. Why? Because I understood what is the goal of life. Because I knew the truth, and the truth made him free. I can say it works. Truth made me free. There are many people today, at least in Russia, who call themselves Christians. But unfortunately, there are few of those who are true Christians or disciples of Christ. To be a disciple of Christ is to dedicate yourself to him, and here self-sufficiency and selfishness are impossible. As we read in Luke 9, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus didn't say, take cross weekly or monthly. He said, take up cross daily and follow me. Every day when I wake up and understand that I'm here, I understand that one more day God gives me. And I need to do his will. And I ask God, help me to take my cross and follow for you. It is not easy. And God knows that it's not easy. But he gave us grace to follow him every day, daily. Turn back our Psalm 15, verse 3. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. The same technique is used in Psalm 1, which describes what the man of God does not do. He does not backbite. Dear brothers and sisters, do we know that slander is slinging mad at somebody? You see a person in white, shot. And another person take mat and put on his white shirts. And say, see, he's dirty. He's bad. He doesn't look good. This is slander. Every slander is based on a lie. Satan is slanderer and the father of a lie. So who backbite with his tongue, that person does the works of devil. A man of God does not backbite. God says, does not backbite. He does not do evil to his neighbor. He is not crafty. Crafty person tries to do harm to his neighbor. He may be well disposed outwardly, but his heart is full of hatred and evil. He does not take up a reproach against his friend. He does not believe accusation which purpose is to slander his neighbor. Some people love to believe accusation. But a man of God does not believe any accusation until he sees evidence. A man pleasing to God or true reformer does not participate in this work of darkness. When he reads Ephesians 4 and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, it is very serious for him. Because God says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We continue to read verse 4 in Psalm 15. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Change. Man pleasing to God has nothing in common with rascals. Another possible translation, a rascal is despised. Man pleasing to God has nothing in common with ungodly people who walk in the ways of darkness and do evil, as we read in James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Man pleasing to God does not love the world or anything in the world. Do you remember what John the Apostle said in his first epistle? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Righteous man knows that the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Who does the will of God? Very important. This man honors God's saints and serves them. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of your desire to be first shall be slave of all. Shall be slave of all. It is very hard for us because we want to be lords, not be slave. But Jesus says, if you would like to be first, shall be slave of all. To honor those who fear the Lord means to serve them. That is to sacrifice yourself for their good. This is what true love is. To sacrifice. I see this sacrifice in your church, in that families where I was. True love. I will be your witness before God. You have true love. Good job, Pastor Neil. Praise to the Lord God's grace. Verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed. This man swears to his own hurt and does not change. Another translation is, who keeps his word even it hurts himself. This man keeps his word in spite of evil. In other words, he is perfectly faithful. It is about devotion. This person completely devoted himself to God, like marriage covenant. I will love you in good times, in the bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. To be responsible for commitments you took in spite of life conditions. We know that we have good time and bad time, good mood and bad mood, good health and bad health. I cannot say, oh, my dear wife, I cannot love you today because I am in good mood, in bad mood. Oh, condition of life not good to love you. No. I am responsible for commitment I took. I say one time before God and before church, I promise. By God's grace, I promise to love you in good time and in bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. This covenant. And verse 5, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. This man does not make a profit out of his neighbors. He does not become rich at the expense of his neighbor, but serves him by what he has. Does not take a bribe against the innocent means he is a fair and impartial judge. What does it mean to be impartial? We find the explanation in James. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in good place. And say to the poor man, you stand here or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Brother and sister, can we say that we are always impartial? Be honest with yourself. And last verse, he who does these things shall never be moved. Very important word. Who does these things? Who does? He who leads this life constantly. Who is this kind of person per se, not just in appearance? You know that the essence of a man is his heart and character. That's what the Lord sees. The Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. As we read 1 Samuel 16:7. This kind of man shall never be moved. He will never be shaken. He will be steady on his legs and be strong. It means he has strong convictions and assurance in the Lord. Lord is his rock. It is like standing on the rock and looking at the storming ocean. We can stay on the rock and look on ocean because rock, we stay on rock. God is our rock. Peter the apostle in his first epistle says that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, was in Old Testament prophets. Therefore, they preached about Christ, his suffering and his glory, as we read 1 Peter 1. Therefore, it is safe to say that David was inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to write this psalm instruction and to show the portrait of a true man pleasing to God. We see the character of a true man, true image and likeness to God. His portrait. Psalm 15 is a portrait of true man, true image and likeness of God. Who is true image and likeness of God? Who is true man pleasing to God? Our Lord Jesus Christ is. So in Psalm 15, we see his portrait. He became a man to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father, to save us from the bondage of sin and death, eternal damnation. In his earthly life, he was devoted by God to God by 100%, as we can see in everything he did. We can see what he did. He walked uprightly, worked righteousness, spoke the truth in his heart. He didn't slander and didn't do evil to his neighbor. He didn't take any reproach against his friends. He despises evildoers and honors God's people. He remained completely faithful in spite of all evil he faced. He didn't make profit out of his neighbors, but gave to the poor everything he had. He was a fair and impartial judge who separated the good from the evil. Therefore, he was never moved and will never be moved. He is very strong. He is the rock of eternal salvation. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, when we look at Jesus, we understand that we are not like him. We see that we are desperate sinners from Psalm 14. But if we understand this, it means God's mercy and grace is upon us. Any healing begins when you acknowledge that you are sick. Each of us is sick with sin. And it's fatal illness. Nobody on the earth is able to help us. Nobody. Our help came from heaven, from our loving Father. He knows that we are sick and it's a hopeless case. So he so loved us that he sent his Son Jesus to heal us and save from eternal death by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ devoted himself to the Father and to us. Jesus devoted himself to us, his bride, his church, and took our sins on the cross so that we could live. He took our infirmities. By his wounds we were healed. The wage of sin is death. And he died to let us live. But death could not hold him, and he rose from the dead. He is alive now and always. Amen. He resurrected to justify us and be our mediator before the Father, to be our true friend. All my life, I looked for friends. And one time, God showed me who is my true friend. I was happy because Jesus Christ is true friend. He is all the time not far from us. He understands me He helps me. I can ask him 24 hours per day. Every second of my life I can ask him because he is my friend. He knows all our difficulties and problems. Therefore, he sends the Holy Spirit to give us what we cannot obtain by ourselves, an ability to be true sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit regenerated us from the dead and filled our hearts with God's love. He gave us true faith and steadfast hope so that each of us could become a man pleasing to God from Psalm 15. Now, how can we thank God for his precious gift? It's a good question. By devoting our life to him. This is the only way to be like Jesus Christ, true man in God's image and likeness. Let God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit help us. Let's pray. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the God, I will sing praise to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall think of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the rest of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Don't forsake the works of your hands. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.